Hey guys, this is Dury with Coyote Kid, and you're listening to the House of Noise podcast.
Welcome to House of Noise.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to House of Noise.
Welcome to another installment, episode, another shenanigan-filled
something. Oh, our shenanigans are short-lived here. I haven't had enough coffee, so
the last meeting of the minds, but it's a short meeting.
Right. Something like that, yes.
So on this episode of House of Noise, we spoke to Austin Dury from
Coyote Kid. Yeah.
So we spoke to Austin of Coyote Kid, and we had a lot of fun talking to him.
We did.
Talking about the special golden skull that they have hidden somewhere.
I wish I freaking knew where that was.
Somewhere in the United States.
That would be great. And it's real. It's not a hoax. It's real, people.
It's a real thing.
There are clues.
If you go on their Facebook, they have a video of them burying it. So
yeah, it's real.
What else was it? We talked about the album, the story that is behind the album, things that they would do if they had millions of dollars.
Oh, God. The things we all would do if we had $1 million.
Right. What else did we talk about? Just everything.
Yeah. I mean,
he's got so many great ideas for this band.
We mentioned slinging coffee, and I said I was drinking, just finished my coffee.
Yes.
So just, you know, like
7 o'clock at night.
That's all right.
Oh, sorry. Six.
Yeah. Let's not make time go by too fast because tomorrow is Monday and we all have to start off our work week.
What else do we have going on?
Well, we have interviews. We're doing if we can get a hold of Saving Abel.
Yeah. If you're in the Michigan area, I'll have this posted before this weekend. They are playing this Friday at Diesel in Chesterfield.
Get your ass there.
Chesterfield Township. We will also be at the Machine Shop February 8th, I believe.
Yes.
For Dirty Honey. I believe we have an interview with the opening band that day.
The Amazons. Yes, I need to.
We're working on that.
Yeah.
We're working on Dirty Honey, too. So. Yeah.
Haven't heard anything, but we're still going
to
try.
We're trying to bring you guys more and more content. We're trying to, you know, get out there and do more in-person interviews, too, because, you know, that's part of the job. That's part of what we do. I mean, we're doing in-house interviews. We're doing the Cave Radio interviews. We're doing in-person interviews. We're trying to get out to festivals and do interviews there, which I want to talk to you about Michigan Metal Fest and trying to get press for that, too.
Yeah.
We got a lot going on. We work day jobs, too. We work, you know, I work 6 to 4:30.
He works 11 to 8, which I can't get shit done. Damn it.
You know, we're busy.
We are busy.
Our only time is our weekends, and those are few and far in between.
Yeah.
So. But, you know, like I said, we're trying to bring everybody the best content and just trying to get our name out there and trying to make a presence.
We are trying to make our presence known.
Yes.
Just like the ghosts we're going to harass when we go to the incarceration, which we have to get our tattoo artist list to our friends to find out who we should be hooking up with. To get inked, because I'm getting inked.
I've been noticing I sound so stuffy. I can tell.
You can tell.
I was trying to. You see me turn my head. I turned my head during the interview a few times. So do the.
I know.
Man.
Boss.
I sniff and there's nothing there. It's just solid and behind my nose and my eyes. Shut up.
That's pretty accurate.
This is like an ongoing, like,
Sickness. Because you won't get your stupid ass to the doctors.
I'll be fine. So
you know what?
But it's weird
because
it's been...
and their allergies going to the damn doctor and then crying
bitches. That's all I think it is. I think it's just allergies. I mean, it's just
If you're blowing yellow snot out your freaking nose, an infarction.
Okay,
it's not allergies.
At this time in Michigan, for the last, 2 months, 3 months? November, December. Yeah, we'll say 3 months now. It's been nothing but hot, cold.
It's been nothing but weird weather.
Everybody's allergies are
doesn't
crazy.
Cause somebody to have spontaneous.
All right. We hope everybody enjoys this interview as much as we
enjoy.
Did.
Enjoy. Austin Dury, Coyote Kid.
Check out Coyote Kid. Go to CoyoteKidMusic.com.
That's Coyote Kid.
I'm stuffy, okay? Coyote Kid.
Coyote Kid. Hey, Coyote Kid.
Did you hear me talking in the interview when I was trying to say anything? And I'm like, I did just I'm stumbling all over my words. I cannot speak proper
better than a pair of balls.
English to save my life.
Okay. Well, on to the interview because, yeah. So enjoy. Austin is the shit, and so is Coyote Kid. So get your butts out there and buy their music.
Well, I did say it was coyotekidmusic.com is okay. The website, and I'll link to their Patreon and
Patreon,
their
yes,
Facebook and their Instagram is all
be
on there.
A purveyor of Patreon and take care of it and get your ass
and you get some cool shit when you're
you
a Patreon.
You do like cards and things and toys and
you get
joy
a clue to the super
clue
cool
right
skull.
We know nothing about the skull. We don't even have the first clue. So come on, discover the skull and then send us the skull.
No, nobody's going to send us the skull. Oh. We're going to keep the damn thing for themselves. I would.
Empty out the skull, but just send us the skull. That's all I'm saying. You can keep what's inside.
There's nothing inside. It's just a skull.
Well, I want the skull.
All right. Enjoy the interview.
Enjoy the interview.
Bye.
Bye. Austin.
Hey.
How are you?
Doing all right.
Good. You staying warm over there in Minnesota?
Oh, it's actually blizzarding right now. So not really, but no. Whatever.
Well, we just had
our blizzard yesterday, yeah. So
Yeah.
freezing rain, all that good stuff that we all.
All right, all right. Yeah, yesterday we had so much ice on the car that we like almost couldn't even leave because we couldn't get it off.
Oh my God.
Brutal. But yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. So welcome to the House of Noise podcast. I'm glad that we could actually hook up this time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
No problem. That's okay.
Yeah, my bad.
That is all right.
Oh, shit happens. Yeah, we get it.
Exactly.
So I want to start by asking, I know you guys had the, what's it called?
Come on, honey.
The GoFundMe, not a GoFundMe,
oh,
but
the Kickstarter.
Yeah, yes.
The Kickstarter, yeah.
I don't know why I was running a blank. So you had the Kickstarter going, but you were, you guys had the golden skull. I was wondering, has anybody even come close to finding it, or has anybody found it yet?
No one's found it yet, but the first clue was found. So there's four clues to find it hidden in the album. And the first clue was found. So someone's a little closer than everybody else out there. But
all right. So the first clue will not be publicized. It's just you still
I haven't totally decided yet. It seems like kind of unfair to be like, if one person finds it, we just give it to everyone.
Right.
So like if they don't get the second one after a couple months or something, maybe we'll we'll give it out. But yeah. We just released a vlog last week, actually, of our of us actually going out into the woods and burying it. So that kind of increased the attention to it a little bit. So hoping it gets a little motion soon.
Oh, yeah, here I thought it might have been like in a building or in a venue or something.
Yeah, there's some hints. People have figured out some hints in the video, just like of like general location ideas. So
we're
like, that's this kind of tree and it only grows in this sort of region.
Exactly. There's I thought it was really funny. We were like, we made the box that it's kind of displayed in or whatever that we went and dug out. And so in the vlog I mentioned that it was Arts and Crafts Day.
Oh.
And then someone went and looked up the official Arts and Crafts Day, like what day it was and like to see what the weather would be like in different places at that time. And I was like, that's not what I was talking about. It's not actually Arts and Crafts Day. But they're taking it pretty seriously. So
yeah.
Well, it is a really cool skull though, and I think anybody would be happy to have it.
Oh yeah, for sure. Skulls are awesome.
Yeah.
And it's actually human sized, right?
Yes. I will say it's pretty a small human. A little small, but you know, whatever.
Oh man. I was going to say, I love the album, The Skeleton Man, and
I love the idea of the album too.
And isn't it, if you put it under certain lighting, it displays certain the blue aspects. Or red. Yeah.
Yes, correct. Yeah, so if you put a red light or a blue light, or if you look through like 3D glasses, any kind of red or blue filter, and it'll separate out the on the album art. There's like a skeleton and a cowboy, and you can like separate the two.
That is so cool.
So you can see just the cowboy image or just the skeleton image, and yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that is. Did you come up with that idea, or was it a collective idea amongst everyone?
I guess I came up with the idea to use it, but I didn't like make the artwork or anything like that.
Yeah. Who did the artwork?
What was that?
Who did the artwork?
Yeah. So my tattoo artist, Lana Bosak, she did the artwork. She's done most of our merch and all of our album covers.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's great.
That's who we had do our logo for our show was a tattoo artist friend of ours.
Yeah.
That's great. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to love tattoo artists.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. They can do anything.
They really can.
They are superheroes, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of superheroes, I understand that you are into comic books.
Yeah.
And that your dream was to be a comic book writer. So if you were doing that, you know, right now, would there be a particular style of hero or comic book that you would want to write? Like, who do you identify with if you're, you know, in the
So, you know, like growing up, I was a big fan of kind of the I always liked kind of the like B or C tier characters and like kind of the like the darker side of things. Like, and I was a big X-Men fan, so yeah. My favorite was like Nightcrawler, right? The like creepy one. He was like my jam. But I kind of took a lot of the inspiration of the stories and stuff that I've come up with over the years and funneled that all into the music. So, you know, we haven't really made a comic book yet, but
God, that would be awesome.
The story of the music is definitely like, you know, that's, I think, what I would be doing if that was the path my life had taken.
Yeah. That would be cool if you guys did do like
a comic to a follow. Comic,
yeah.
To follow the album.
Oh my God, that would be genius.
We've definitely considered it. It's kind of one of those like, man, if we had all the money in the world, that would definitely happen. But yes, one thing we are doing is, you know, we're making a Dungeons and Dragons campaign.
Nice
cards.
That's based in the world of the album, so you'll be able to like kind of go in with your friends and you can like talk to the different characters and learn more about the history and how all the albums tie together and that's kind of forced us to flush out a lot of the ideas and into, you know, locations and maps and you know, a lot of just kind of solidifying all the stories of all of the albums and how they fit together.
Well, is that connected to what you do for your fans when you, because you give out cards if they go to shows, right?
Yes, correct. Yeah. So we have this collection of cards. We're actually getting a new collection pretty soon. Collection of cards that fans can kind of collect when they come to shows. We haven't really finalized this yet, but we're trying to figure out a way to actually include the cards as like a gameplay mechanic in the D&D campaign.
Okay.
So they can like give you different like upgrades and stuff like that. We use the cards are kind of based on the characters and the stories and that kind of helps everything, you know, tie together.
So who's the D&D fan? Are all of you, or is just a couple of you?
I would say our bassist Wilder, he's definitely he's the most experienced D&D player. And so he's kind of guiding us through the creation process of it, but in general, you know, I think we all just kind of view it as a really just a cool like interactive way for fans to kind of like dig into, you know, a level deeper than, you know, anything we could do with just the album, and kind of have their own personality in it and have their own you know, kind of impact on the story and everything like that. And so we're hoping it'll be something people really, really cling to and kind of identify with. And yeah, it should be cool.
So is there a special card for people who get to interview you?
Right.
Yeah, maybe someday.
All right. Well, we definitely hope you come to Michigan so we can catch your show. And
yeah, definitely. But we're trying to branch out as much as we can this summer.
Because you guys have you guys been doing a lot of local shows at the currently just trying to stay like local to your area?
We kind of stick to the Midwest, not really by choice, but just kind of by necessity and what we're able to do financially and stuff like that. So, this next year we're hoping to be able to get out a lot further and branch out, you know, hopefully to West Coast and East Coast and something South. And, Michigan's definitely on the table. So,
Well, have you guys had any success in reaching out to other bands and trying to get on tours with other bands?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of tricky. Most of the bands that are really touring, it seems like they are all on record labels, and the record labels pretty much only want to boost their own bands.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of a trick kind of convincing someone to, you know, give you half their money and just trust that you're going to bring your own fans.
Yeah.
So, that's always a bit of a hard sell, but we're definitely, we're really, really out here trying to make this thing happen. So, you know, we're all hoping for the best. We'll see.
Well, there are independent bands out there that are doing pretty well. Friends of ours called Blacktop Mojo, they're independent. Yeah. And they've actually had a very good tour on their being the headliner too.
Yeah, that's great. I've actually heard about them. It seems like they're doing awesome. That's great.
Oh, that's cool.
It's all self-promoting on their. I mean, I'm sure they pay people for a lot of stuff too, but. You know, for the most part, they do everything themselves. So,
Definitely. Yeah, this is the first time we're kind of taking booking into our own hands for the most part, which is kind of why this next year is going to be a little busier than normal. But in the past, we've always kind of hired people or had other people do it, and it's always kind of been tricky to really get out there and really, you know, go as far as we want to go. So this year we're in charge. So.
As we've learned from a lot of bands too, you know, you probably have day jobs too. So to try to find the time off for those as well, you know, it makes it difficult to make a touring schedule.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely is. Yeah. And then also just like, you know, making sure that there will be people at your shows and you make money at your shows and, you know, all those important things, but whatever. They'll come eventually.
Yeah. It just, that's the one thing that, you know, kind of scares me a little bit is that. There's so, I mean, technology is great, you know, as I'm sure you would agree, because I don't know if you and your bandmates all kind of live close to each other as far as like practicing or, you know, making music or, I mean, communicating song ideas. Like, technology is great for that if you're not like on the same, you know, in the same area, because a lot of bands aren't for whatever reason.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But I think the struggle therein lies is making sure you stand out and have that unique idea that people are like, that's really a different idea. And that's why I think you guys, I like, you know, the album, the kind of the story, you know, your videos and everything like that. There's a story, there's something tangible. And I think that's what so many people want to hold on to is that tangible story idea. It's kind of like the movies almost.
Exactly. Yeah. Part of what, you know, the kind of the idea of this whole project started with, you know, hearing, like really diving into the lyrics of, you know, what you hear on the radio and those kind of things. And when I was younger, I remember just like hearing that and envisioning kind of the stories they were telling and being like, man, that's boring. Like, I don't care about that at all.
Yeah.
and kind of asking myself, like, you know, if this song I'm listening to like was a movie, like, is it something I'd be interested in watching? And that kind of led the idea of, you know, kind of making bigger stakes and making more, you know, dramatic lyrics and songs and creating characters that you can kind of write from the perspective of and having like action scene songs, like, and just kind of developing that whole idea into this whole, you know, story music thing we do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to go back a little bit when we were talking about bands that you could tour with. I think you would pair up well with would be Amigo the Devil.
Yeah,
I think you definitely. Guys would definitely pair up amazingly together, because he is a storyteller, and he does it in a very different and folky kind of way. But yeah.
So one of my favorite bands is Murder by Death.
Oh, yeah.
They're one of my top bands, and we got to actually play with them last year in Minneapolis.
Oh, nice.
It was
awesome.
Amazing. And all their fans that were from Minnesota were like, "Why haven't we heard of you?"
Right.
To us, yeah. So we got a lot of new fans from that. But I actually reached out to them to try and see if there was any room on their next tour for us to try and tour with them. And they were like, "Oh no, we're taking Amigo the Devil out with us instead."
Oh.
So, yes, I agree.
Yeah,
I guess I was right.
To play with them.
Yeah. Yeah, I know he's coming to Michigan in March.
All right.
All right. So, who came up with the idea for the video for Femme Fatale?
Yeah, so that was a bit of a kind of a team effort with our. We hired a team of directors. And they kind of took took the audio and not knowing any else of the story of the album or anything,
right?
Just kind of made their own story, basically just kind of for just a compact one song. And then I suggested that we bring that story into another song as well. So we ended up filming two music videos, one for Femme Fatale and one for Strange Days.
Right.
And the idea being that the song for Strange Days was like the death dream of one of the characters from Femme Fatale. So you can kind of play the two back to back and create a bit of a narrative between them. They came out to us with this really crazy idea and really, you know, ambitious vision for what they could do. We just decided to be like, yeah, let's do it. Let's, you know, we invested a bunch of money in it and if we wanted to try and, you know, make something that fit our, you know, fit our level of like cinematic, you know, visuals and stuff like that.
Right.
More than, you know, just a kind of a run of the mill music video would.
Right.
Well, it's I don't know, if anybody hasn't seen the video yet, it's really awesome. I mean, the whole thing is shot in what, 16 mil?
Yeah, 16 millimeter.
Correct, yeah.
Well, it's like if you can imagine Quentin Tarantino making Christine. I mean, that is basically.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I just love the idea of the. I mean, obviously it was the directors that kind of came up with that idea, but you know, the car requires blood to run and.
Yeah.
This, I don't know.
Yeah, there's cool. One of the lyrics in the song inspired that says, like, made a blood peck deal. That was like what started that. And then it's a beautiful night for a bloodbath. And they were like, they just ran with that whole blood theme like super far. Yeah. I'm like, cool. Yeah. Let's do it.
Yeah, definitely. Well, yeah. I like how all your songs sound different from each other, too.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks.
Like, one doesn't sound like the other, but yeah. They're all like hard driving.
But they all go together. You
know? Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
you know, cool. It's part of the story. If you watch a movie, every scene isn't exactly the same. It has a different tone for different types of scenes.
Exactly. Yeah, we have a new music video coming out next week, actually, next Friday.
Is that the one that you
song Skeleton Man.
Yes.
And that song sounds nothing like the other two videos we released. Oh, so
I'm so excited.
It'll be interesting seeing how people react to that.
Yeah, that was the one that you teased on your social media, right?
Correct, yeah. Yeah, we had... We put me in a bunch of like skeleton makeup with like I had a full like Grim Reaper costume.
Nice.
And we were out in public. I had like ride the local train here, and it like wasn't near Halloween or anything. There was no explanation for anybody. It was just like, yep, I'm the Grim Reaper.
Yeah.
Hello. Like,
yeah. Right. Right.
And,
how freaked out were people?
Yeah, I definitely got some weird looks, but. But nothing too bad.
Right.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun to make, though.
Yeah. Good. Oh, I bet.
Well, how'd you find a store that had Halloween stuff in it, then?
Yeah.
Oh, so the first half was filmed in, like, around Halloween.
Okay.
And then we did a whole separate time of shooting that was, like, a month and a half later. So it was, like, different. Yeah. Yeah. So the first day of shooting was actually like really easy because I was just like, oh, it's Halloween party. Oh, right. Well, like no one betted an eye, but
right. Go out after Halloween and all of a sudden everybody goes crazy. So, okay. So you said you got a new music video coming out soon.
Exciting.
Oh, damn. I just had something and I lost it.
You know, it happens.
It does happen. It happens a lot with me, actually. I mean, she can blame it on age. I'm younger than her, so.
He is younger than me, and I can't blame it on age.
All right, how'd you guys all meet? Let's go with that.
There we go.
What was that again?
How did you guys all meet? And like.
Oh, yeah. So I met Wilder, our bassist. He used to be our drummer, and he was our, like, auxiliary percussionist. He's just kind of like a super wild performer guy. But I met him in college. We were both doing like PSEO, so we were in high school, but we were out of college.
Gotcha.
And we you know, just started making music, kind of dinking around, and we were, you know, I think like 17 when we met, and that's kind of what started the band. A lot of different members filtered in and out. We met Cassandra, the other vocalist, pretty shortly after that, maybe a year or two. Yeah, and then John has been with us for he's the trombone player. We call him Johnny Bones. he's been with us for like 5, maybe 6 years now. And then Key and the drummer has been with us for like 3 years. So we all just kind of met, you know, you meet people on the road, meet people at shows, and, you know, want to be my band.
One thing leads to another.
Why what was the interest in having, did you have the idea of having a trombone player in your band before you met him? Or is it just like you met him, you're like, hey, trombone, why not?
So actually we had a euphonium player before, that kind of just happened naturally. We just met him and was like, hey, horns are cool. Like, you know, let's see how it sounds. We always kind of wanted to have like a cinematic scope to the sound, and I felt like horns would really help that out. And he quit after, you know, not very long, and he recommended that we ask his teacher if the teacher had any students that would want to play, and John is the teacher, and he's like, I'll just do it. So so he stepped in, and he's great. He can do anything.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I don't think there are many rock and roll trombonist positions out there. So
right. Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
All right. So seeing as you love comic books, I'm sure you still do. How do you feel about, you know, the whole MCU? Are you digging it? Are you not digging it? Or, you know, like, are you?
I've been a big Marvel fan from day one. We actually just watched Endgame again last night.
I just watched it the other day too.
Fresh on the mind. I'm a big fan of it. You know, I definitely see how I think moving to the, you know, streaming platforms with everything definitely seems like a smart move. Just because the movies end up being so episodic anyway. It's like you're basically just watching a show. Like
right.
But I love it. I think it's great how far outside of the box and outside of the normal characters they can go. I always look at it and think, like, you know, this is what comic books have always been like.
Right.
Just the public wasn't aware of it before.
Right.
You know, it's just more attainable now. That's all.
So do you like the more, the darker movies that they've been making? Like, I know they got new mutants coming out soon.
I'm excited for that. I hope that, you know, that was made by Fox before Disney bought them.
Right. And then they had to do a bunch of reshoots.
And now it's like, it's kind of been shelved for like a while. So I'm hoping Disney doesn't like throw it under the bus too hard.
Yeah.
Well, I know it underwent so many different reshoots and different shit, but
yeah, it has one of my favorite characters in it though, Cannonball.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. He's a cool character for sure. I'm excited to see that on the screen.
I think part of the reason they had to reshoot is because they didn't have him in it in the original. Like Fox didn't want to put him in there or something, but
oh, interesting.
From everything I was reading anyway. Doesn't mean it's true. Yep. But Yeah, they got Venom 2 coming out. I know Todd McFarlane's making the Spawn movie.
Yeah.
So that should be amazing considering he's the creator of Spawn.
Yeah, I just saw the Morbius trailer the other day. Like, pretty cool.
Yes.
I'm into it.
And somehow that's going to tie into Spider-Man too. So that should be interesting. But yeah, I've been loving it. It's like a great time to be, you know, a nerd and
great time.
It is a great time to be a nerd.
Definitely, it's so mainstream now. It's everywhere. It's great. Yeah.
We can actually buy toys and not get funny looks from people. You know.
I know, right?
go see a Marvel movie and you know not have you don't have to have a child with you in order to enjoy it.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Or they look or at
you, get you a do have a child with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Or get a tattoo.
Yeah.
Of a superhero. Yeah. You know.
Exactly. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. We, one of the things I wanted to really do with this last record was include, like, I'm a big fan of like, of toys and like knickknacks, kind of having a physical thing you can, you know, really see and feel. And so we had those, the little metal figurines made of the, of the characters from the show or from the album, not a show, but,
we know what you meant.
But so it was really cool just like kind of seeing those and finally holding them and being like, oh, it's real. Like these ideas are like, I can hold it, you know?
Right.
It's cool. Cool feeling.
That is very cool.
Now, those were for sale too, or?
They're not for sale. They were like Kickstarter exclusive.
Okay.
I guess I'm not sure if we'll be able to or not, but I'm hoping there's some way we can do something similar to that for the D&D campaign, but I also like want it to be way more than we can afford. So we'll see.
Again, the whole, if we had $1 million thing, you know,
Yeah. We'd all be rich.
You know, that'd be nice, but so we'll.
Yeah, exactly.
So Coyote Kid is not the actual name that the band used to be. You guys changed your name because it was, like going in a new direction, but not really. I don't know how you would explain it.
Yeah. So, you know, we were called, Mara in the Mainsail for 9 years. Right. You know, it was actually something we wanted to make as a change. We wanted to make like 2 albums ago.
Yeah.
We were under management that said no, and we had a record deal and we kind of couldn't really get out of that. So then when we decided to go independent, for this next record, it was kind of like, you know, we knew it was a bit of a gamble, but we felt like for new people coming in, the old name just didn't really make sense anymore. And we kind of wanted to make something that was easier to understand and a little shorter and easier to remember. And also something that was really relevant to the story and really kind of plays itself right into, the idea of, you know, the story albums and everything like that. So, you know, your first question is, you know, what does Coyote Kid mean? And you get to be like, oh, that's the character in the story and there's a story, you know, lead right into that. Really, we just wanted to make it, a little more accessible for new people to understand and kind of be a part of.
All right. So the new album is post-apocalyptic spaghetti Western-ish, right?
Correct.
And,
yep.
And the previous album under the old name was technically a prelude to that. So is there any plans of maybe in the future re-releasing it under the new name, remastering it? Maybe?
Yeah. That's what we talked about. We're hoping to, I would love to release like a box set or something like that with all the different albums. And again, we're just going into, if we had all the money, we would for sure do that.
Right.
We definitely have to, you know, kind of sell what we have first. But I would love to, re-release it under the new name and with kind of some more fleshed out, story content and kind of a more, you know, interwoven, story and universe with the other albums. I would love to do that. You know, we'll see what happens. Kind of all depends on how this next year goes. If we, you know, make any money or not.
Right.
But hey, you know, yeah, definitely. I would love to do that.
So I know you just, this album's fairly new and, you know, it just came out not too long ago, but is the plan to continue on this story and, you know, keep continuing the story on, or are you going to come up with a new story in the future?
Yeah. So, you know, we definitely haven't started on the next album yet. I don't want to like, promise anything or limit kind of what we're going to do. But I definitely think there's more, more story to tell here. One of the things that was, the one of the things we kind of set up in this album, I don't know if I have to say spoiler alert or not, but whatever. at the, near the end of the story, the hero Coyote Kid, he takes on the mantle of death. And so he becomes the Grim Reaper. He's the new Skeleton Man, right?
Right.
And so with that, we kind of opened up our narrative possibilities a lot. And now kind of the narrator of our whole story of, you know, the main character of the whole thing.
Skeleton Man.
Is death itself. So he can be anywhere, anytime. He can tell any story he wants.
Oh, nice.
And it kind of frees us up a little bit to have consistency in our characters and but also, you know, really kind of do whatever we want to do. So, yeah.
Well, I suppose if you can't flesh out an idea for the music, you could always write something and still have some sort of continuation in a comic book type style.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. I'm hoping that this, the D&D campaign will kind of open up some new doors in, I mean, we definitely want to keep making music, but like, I'd love to be able to make other stuff too. And, you know, make a comic book or make a, you know,
graphic
game
novel.
Or something. I don't
graphic
know.
Novel would be cool.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah, on our Patreon page, I haven't done one in a while, but we release, like chapters of the different stories, whenever I have the time to write them. So that's kind of a way to follow along, in kind of a novelization form, I guess, with the story and everything like that.
Right.
So I know the Kickstarter is over, but so we could still get on to Patreon and do it that way, right?
Correct. Yeah. So when you go on Patreon, we try to release something every week. But every month you can definitely count on a vlog kind of just of us, you know, being dorks and playing shows and stuff.
I love our vlogs.
And then also, a kind of like acoustic performance video. It'll be either one of our songs or a cover that, patrons can suggest or whatever. Just actually like an hour ago, I posted I did a cover of, Someone Like You by Adele.
Oh, okay.
Super out of our, you know, ballpark, but I thought it was fun. So you can go on Patreon right now, sign up and, take a look at that. And then the other thing you get when you sign up is, you get the full like digital download of all of our albums. So, it's kind of a more direct route than, you know, if you go on iTunes and download everything, it'll cost you, you know, like $30-$35, whatever, for our three albums. And then we end up getting like 10 cents or whatever it is. It's like tiny.
Yeah.
Or you can go on Patreon, pay $10, and you get all three albums. We get $10 in our pocket. And, you know, it's just a more direct, better for everybody, except for iTunes, but they have enough money.
They do. I don't think it's going to break the bank for them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So really Patreon is just kind of just eliminates the middleman and the all the different, you know, mega corporations that are just, you know, in the middle to, take a little slice of everything.
Yeah.
And it just lets us, you know, work directly with the fans and, you know, they get content, they pay, we, you know, are able to make a living and make more content, you know, it's kind of the circle. So,
right. Yeah. That's why, like, that's my biggest annoyance is, all the streaming services, how, you know, they seem to make all the profit and the people that made the art that created it get nothing or next to nothing from it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's rough out there. definitely. That's part of why, you know, we wanted to expand, you know, what we're doing into, you know, non-musical things too, was because, you know, music is what we love. It's what we're, you know, best at, I think. But there's just, you know, it doesn't have much value, really, right. Much financial value in, you know, today's economy, I guess. Branching out into other things and making stories that people care about and characters and things like that. I think kind of we're hoping to, I guess, like increase the, you know, the amount of content we can put out and the types of content we can put out and hopefully, you know, make something that's really meaningful to people and that they can really identify with.
Well, I definitely commend you on thinking outside the box.
Me too.
There's a lot of people out there that could definitely take a few notes from you.
Amen. I agree.
Well, thanks. No one steal our ideas.
Well,
darn it.
Well, like
we've
you,
been busted.
Well, like you, we don't have that millions of dollars either. So
Yeah, we both work day jobs. So.
Yep. I know. I sling coffee every day.
Yeah. And I just finished a cup of coffee.
Hey, all right.
Coffee is great. Thank God for you, coffee slingers. That's all I can
say. I know, right? We're doing the world a favor.
You are.
So, speaking of the Patreon page and all that, is that accessible through the website? Like, where's the best place for everybody to find everything that is Coyote Kid?
Yeah, so we post everything on Facebook and Instagram. Those are kind of our two primary places we put stuff. You can look on Patreon. You know, it's just Coyote Kid Patreon. And then we also post YouTube videos a lot too. So our YouTube channel is pretty active. All the links for everything are on our website. It's coyotekidmusic.com. Pretty much everything is linked to everything else. So, you know, a little bit of Google, you can find everything yes, we've ever been. True. So
that is true.
Well, Austin, it has been an absolute pleasure talking to you. I'm glad we could, like I said before,
me too.
Actually get this worked out and we can talk to you.
Yeah, me too. That's good.
Yeah.
We wish you guys nothing but the best. We hope you can make it to Michigan and catch a show and maybe get one of those cards we were talking about.
Yeah, one of those special cards.
For sure.
Maybe by then there'll be a special one for people that interview.
Yeah, that interviewers only.
That's right. Exclusive card.
Holographic limited edition.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
I love it. Awesome. Thank you so much. And we are definitely going to keep you guys playing on our House of Noise show. And we're looking forward to when you make it to Michigan. We'll keep our fingers crossed.
All right. Well, we'll chat later.
Yep. Definitely enjoy your day.
All right. You too. Bye.
Bye. Spontaneous.
We don't need to go into the details of what's been happening with me, okay?
Yes. Yes, we do. It makes for great content.
Hey, occasionally, it hasn't been liquidy. It's just FYI. Okay, like everybody wants to hear us. All right, enough with my bowel movement. We hope everybody enjoys this interview.
Oh, God. No, they want to hear more about your bowel movements.
I need to cut all this out.
No, you don't. You keep it in here because it's funny. Anyway.